All right, we are back on air for the Radio St. Pete exclusive Asian Cult Cinema Show 81, which means nothing. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown, we're here to bring you the Asian-iest, cultiest, cinema-iest that you could ever see or hear with your ear
holes.
Right. What do you got going on this week, Dr. Morbius?
Zilch.
Did you venture out last week for Black Friday?
No. Black Friday or
Cyber Monday.
Whatever Tuesday.
As my life progresses, I realize I'm happier with my money. Yeah, all right. Exactly. So I did watch a few things this week. Let's see. I watched Jim and Andy, which is a documentary on Netflix about Jim Carrey.
When he played Andy Kaufman
in, what was it, Man on the Moon?
Man on the Moon, yeah.
Which was a very good performance by Jim Carrey. And it was neat because it was a documentary. They talked to him a lot. They talked to Kaufman's friends a lot, family a lot. A lot of very poignant stuff Jim Carrey was talking about. You know, I don't know. I admire him a lot more than most people do. Most people just kind of dismiss him or say or whatever, but I actually think he's a very good actor. I think he's very funny. You know, he's just one of those guys where I've liked his stupid stuff in the past. I can't say I'm in love with his dramatic stuff, but you know.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, sometimes when they try to become serious.
Yeah, but he's okay. He's trying stuff. You know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, you know, it was great to see him and hear him talk about some deep stuff. Then I watched a movie that was very hot a long time ago called Chappie. It was a South African movie. Had Wolverine was in it. You know, Hugh Jackman. And it was about a robot that was, you know, kind of rejected, and the programmer guy installed AI, first AI program into this rejected battle bot, you know, police thing. It was a very deep movie. It was a very good movie. I mean, you know, as well as where they were kind of addressing a lot of real human things through a robot as it was trying to grow, and it was a really cool movie. I was surprised I hadn't seen it before that, because I know it was, when it hit, it was very popular, so. And then I watched Men in Black, because, I don't know, Mom was over, so I have to choose a little bit more mother-appropriate movies when she's here.
Sure.
Men in Black is funny enough, the first one, I like it. I mean, I haven't seen the third one, I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe I did, I don't know. I can't remember them anymore. I think there's three, right? Or no, two.
I thought there was only two.
Yeah, maybe there's two, and they're going to make a third one, and you're like, why? And let's see, then I watched, you know, again, mother-approved Meet the Robinsons, which is that little animated thing. They're good enough, you know.
Yeah, why not?
I hadn't seen the Men in Black for a while. It holds up pretty good. I laughed. I mean, other than Will Smith's very 90s apparel in the very beginning when he was wearing, like, all that, like, kind of the cool street stuff, you know, with the, that was funny. But, yeah. So there you have it.
There you have it.
There you have it, everyone.
And now on to our feature presentation.
Do we have to?
Yes.
I don't want to.
I think I'm going to be liking this movie more than you.
Probably.
Probably.
I think part of the problem was, as I alluded to, if you listened to last week's show, you heard me say I was very excited to get through the first show, the first movie we picked, because the second one was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. And then it didn't work, and I said, oh, no. And then we went to the Philippines again, and I said, aw. But it did have Sid Haig being a pirate
Sid Haig,
king.
It
you know.
Had Vic Diaz, it had John Ashley, Diaz, Sherry Cafaro, Gloria Hendry, all-star cast of, like, B-movie people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really deliver the, let's say it promises a lot more than it shows.
Yeah, it did.
I laughed a few times, though.
I laughed a couple times, yeah. It was... Not at Vic Diaz, though. I laughed mostly at Sid Haig, because he was chewing the scenery with some A1 sauce, you know.
Yeah, like doing the Mexican bit or whatever. Like
Vamanos! Like, he was being, like, the most piratey...
The most Mexican-y Mexican pirate ever, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah. Sid Haig's always great.
Yeah, he is.
And John Ashley was pretty funny. That first scene, this movie's called Savage Sisters, okay? It's another, like, we've done them before, like, the one, it's almost like the one with Pam Grier and Margaret Markoff, Black Mama, yeah. White Mama.
In like, fact, I thought the ending was the same. It's the same pier.
Kind of.
Where they're having that shoot it, except instead of going up on the top like Black Mama and White Mama did, they just shot out down at the bottom. But like some of the scenes are, I swear, they're just reversed angles.
Same locations.
You're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an AIP movie. No, Corman was gone by then. So I'm Arkoff.
Yeah.
This is John Ashley like, production.
You can keep it.
This is a John Ashley production. He had done a few horror movies, and now he decided to do. He did a few Women in Prison movie, and this is like kind of like in the same boat as some of the other ones. It's like Revolutionaries, and then there's a lot of shifty stuff going on, like yeah. You know, conning this and conning that. The first thing cracked me up. Oh boy, here he comes again. Yes. First thing cracked me up because it's like. I mean, I'm going like, oh my God! It's like John Ashley sitting there with like, he looked like with his pimp hat and his like, and he's just sitting there like with these like women around him. One of them is kind of a hefty woman.
He was like, a big gal. That was a big gal.
Yeah, and he's talking about like, you know, well,
he's talking to the camera. He's
yeah, fourth.
He's
wall.
Totally what's that guy? Ferris Bueller-ing the camera.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and he's talking about, you know, like, oh, he's scamming and stuff like that, and you know, all this stuff. And how
I was like my women and my money
and my women awesome. And my money and my sex, you know. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. That's good. Glad like, to see it. Here he okay. comes. Here he comes. Here comes Buddy. Yeah, but, yeah, so then it cuts to, like, these scenes where there's, like, these revolutionary women and...
Just wild.
And then there's, and of course, and then there's, like, the revolutionary people, guys, you know, the lefties are teamed together with a bunch of, like, you know, piratey scumbags, and they're trying to get $1 million.
The whole shtick... is that everyone's going, or they're trying to get this $1 million that's being transported through the Philippines.
Right.
And you have you have Ashley, who is being like a pimp, who's going to get it. You have the revolution, because they're going to fund their revolution.
They're
going
to get arms and guns, and then you have the banditos.
Then you have Sid Haig being the banditos, and they're going to get it because of evil.
They just want money, you know?
And that's it. And so, yeah, so there's the beginning of your movie.
The beginning of it.
All right, we're going to take a trailer break. When we come back, we'll figure out what happens in this whodunit. Sid Haig done it. All right, well, we'll be back. Spoiler alert, huh?
Tell me, what is your secret? How do you find yourself in the right position all the time?
That's a good question. What happens is the center has the ball first, and a quarterback will say hike. That's when the center puts the ball into the hands of the quarterback. So what I'll do is I'll start tackling the quarterback, unless he gives the ball to somebody else, in which case I'll try to tackle that person.
Gentlemen, which brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
The swinging cheerleaders. Take eight attractive young college co-eds, put them on the cheerleader squad, and you have the swinging cheerleaders. An action-packed, fun-filled adventure of contemporary college life.
What's the idea of sitting there in the front row with no underpants on like that? Don't you know what that does to me when I'm trying to explain permutations?
The director who created Coffee, The Big Dollhouse, now brings you a view of college life you've never seen. Or perhaps you have.
Oh, gosh. I know it sounds weird. But I don't know if I'm still a virgin.
Don't be afraid to use men for what you want. They do it to us without a qualm.
Well said, sister.
Watch for them. The Swinging Cheerleaders. Rated R.
It's a hell of a thing killing a man. You take away all he's got and all he's ever gonna have.
Trouble it is. The swinging, what is it? The swinging
cheerleaders?
Cheerleaders, yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie.
That's not, yeah, that's a movie and not
it's
on
all right. It's
not
all
an
right.
Asian cult cinema.
No, it won't be. It won't
ever.
Be.
Ever. So.
No. Anyway, so you got all these revolutionaries. All these people want $1 million. Then you got, of course, the crooked politicians. And
yeah, the like, not Fidel Castro, but like...
Yeah, the Banana Republic guy or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. The Philippines serves as a banana republic for a lot of movies because it's cheaper and it's maybe a little bit less dangerous than going to Venezuela or Cuba or
slightly
Nicaragua or any other places. Maybe a little less, slightly, but not much. You know, so... Yeah, so you got the corrupt. Everybody's corrupt in this movie. There's no, like, redeeming character in this movie.
No, nothing. Nobody's totally just like...
Yeah, so...
And don't worry. Everyone is 100% a cartoon stereotype of reality. Yeah. Like, everyone. Like, you know, Sid Haig is actually being the most honest-to-goodness, like, stereotype. But everyone else is like the dictator is chewing a cigar and has all the medals. The warden who's a sex crazed lunatic is like a dominatrix. You know, they are just broad brush stereotypes. You know,
John Ashley, like 3 or 4 years later, this almost reminds me of what he ended up doing 4 years later, 5 years, whatever it was that made him a big success. He was a producer of the A-Team.
Wow.
And if you watch the A-Team, the narration is John Ashley. That's his voice narrating the show. So this almost seems very A-Team-ish to me whatever, you know? Because it's got that cheesy humor or whatever.
All this stuff bounced around in his noodle. He's like, in the middle of filming, he's like, I'm going to do a show.
That's where the money is.
You know, it's all up in the noodle.
And I never really watched that show, but my friends of mine who do like that show said it's really a spoof of action shows.
Oh, I love that movie or that show. I watched it all the time. The one weirdest thing about the A-Team, and I love that movie. I said it twice now. I love that show. I watched it all the time as a kid. As a kid, it's fine. As an adult, you're like nothing ever gets shot. No bullets ever hit anything.
That's it, yeah.
You know, it's all squibs alongside of cars and, you know.
That was when TV was trying to be protective to children. Now they show you, like, autopsies and all that crap.
The Walking Dead where there's just sloppy goop everywhere.
Back then they were trying to be protective. It was a better time.
You know, they're like, I pity the fool.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's all these revolutionaries are conning each other here and there or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of women that are connected with the revolutionaries.
Yeah, and they're trying to do an end around.
Yeah.
To, like, they're going to help the revolutionaries get the $1 million through this convoluted plot of, like, they're going to go in as hired help, even though two of them are, like,
blonde
supermodels and stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah.
They're not getting bought to do any labor other than you know. So they show up at this farm and they're like, oh, here are the women you ordered to pick crops. And then two of them go into the basement and there's a whole team of women there. And they're dressing up and loading their guns up. And then they get double crossed and they get murdered, all of them except for like three of them.
Right. And then they get sent to like some, you know, concentration camp or whatever. Yeah. And they want information. So they put a couple of them in front of the firing squad.
Yeah, that was gruesome.
Yeah, that was kind of rough, you know, but they don't spill the beans. They go, okay, well, we'll bring you back in and we'll even do worse or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
You're like, ugh.
And then you meet this, like, Gloria Hendry, this guard that used to be a reformed hooker. She's the tough
hooker with the heart
she's
of
like,
gold.
No, she's like the, true. She could, they couldn't get Pam. So
yeah, she's
Gloria
Pam,
Hendry's
Pam
good,
Greer light.
Pam Greer, kind of, you know, I mean, but anyway, she's pretty tough, you know. So she's there, she's like the sergeant or whatever, you know, so... You know, there's that one infamous scene where she's like got the girl, and they're trying to grill her, and she won't talk. So they put her on a table, and they got this, like, you know.
Yeah, they strip her clothing off, but you don't see anything.
You don't see anything. They got this pleasure device for ladies on a drill bit, you know, and you're going, like,
yeah, I don't want to see
but
this.
But then that's shot in the angles where you don't see, and it never was really used because it's like, okay, stop. We got to go and do something else. Yeah. Well, that's going on. Eddie Garcia, as the prisoner, is having some weird kinky sex with a warden, and she's like, you know, you're my dog, and he's doing like a puppy thing. I mean, this movie is so silly.
It's crazy.
It's like, to see Eddie Garcia doing, like, you know, his little doggy thing was like, crack me up too. You know? I did laugh or whatever.
It was some weirdness. Then they immediately like break out, like the girls break out and the dictator's there. Now, is this when the dictator's sleeping with her or no?
Well, I think before they break out, the black sergeant gets I forgot.
Oh, now we're mixing it up. Because, now the heist happens. They blow up the bridge without the girls because the girls are in jail now.
Yeah.
The girls think all the revolutionaries were killed, so the blonde girl, who was only there because of her boyfriend who ran the revolutionary, kind of is comatosing out. So now, as that's happening, Sid Haig and the revolutionary team go down and they murder everyone and take the money. And Sid Haig goes.
Ambush them, yeah.
Sid Haig goes all rogue and kills everyone. He kills all the banditos, all the revolutionary. He kills a couple of his own guys.
Yeah.
He's like, don't take any of the wounded with, they slow you down.
He keeps Vic Diaz and another guy.
Yeah.
Okay, now we just got to get a boat to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, well, first it's a plane. We're going to go get a plane. So now you meet up with
John Ashley.
He was like, hey, I got your plane for you. And here's the comic relief Japanese World War II fighter pilot who's going to fly you there. And the plane starts falling apart. And then Sid Haig realizes it's a double cross and he starts shooting everyone.
Yeah.
Now they steal Vic Diaz's car and now they have to go, or John Ashley's car, now they have to go find a boat.
Yeah.
You know? So you're like, okay.
So John Ashley ends up like getting out of there, and then he ends up like hooking up with the black warden.
Yeah, he's like,
he knew her from before.
He's like, I'm gonna steal all the money.
So he tells her about this whole deal.
Yeah,
and then she turns to her, she goes, hey, you know what, I don't mind working like at the, but I like money too, you know what mm-hmm. I mean. So then they start that con or whatever, you know, where she goes, he goes like, okay, well, we need these two other girls to help us out, you know.
So, yeah, which I don't know why, but whatever. So
she ends up like giving her like they end up like, I don't remember if she killed him, but she does something to the guards, and she gives the girl some, like, handcuffs. She goes, just put them on and pretend like, you know, I'm walking you out, and then we'll get out. So the three of them escape. So now they're in on the con with yeah. John Ashley to get the money for various reasons yes. or whatever.
And one of the funniest things, though, after now the woman warden was sleeping with the dictator. And every layer of clothing he had, he still had the medals on underneath, which made me laugh. Because he has his jacket with all these medals on, which that's infamous. Those countries are infamous for that. Then he had his white dress shirt underneath, which had medals on it. Then he had his T-shirt, which had medals on it. I was like, that's kind of comedy gold right there. Because those, I guess you could say the same thing about our generals and stuff like that. They have all these medals, and you're like, okay, you know. But dictators are famous for loving their yes. flair, as it were.
That's exactly right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back and we'll find out who ends up with this money.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me.
His name is Mr. Soames, and he's just a baby. A 30-year-old baby in a coma since birth, suddenly awakened by a breakthrough brain operation. The mind of a child in the body of a man. Columbia Pictures presents Terrence Stamp and Robert Vaughn in the strange and shocking story of The Mind of Mr. Soames. Mr. Soames likes to play. He's very good at patty cake and teddy bear and felonious assault. Science can do the impossible, but can it control what it creates? Can this baby kill? It's incredible what goes on in the mind of Mr. Soames. In color, rated GP, all ages, parental guidance.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
All right. So now I'm trying to think where this picks up. Because now Sid Haig is kind of on the run, but he has Vic Diaz with him. And they're kind of in control. He's looking for a boat. He's basically, he has his $1 million. They're going to go be reputable businessmen now off this island. So they're looking for transportation. That's Vic Diaz's in. Because he's going to try and like circumvent and get to the boat first so he can do the heist and get the money from Sid Haig.
Yeah.
And then the girls, now they break the girls out. They go into this place, shoot it all up, murder a whole bunch of people and get the girls. And this is where you're kind of like, wait, what are we doing now? Because the girls are sitting there, and he's running around in his tighty whities. This John Ashley, I'm sorry, is jogging around in his underwear.
They're trying to figure out whether he's going to con them or not.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's probably just going to steal it from us. So their brilliant plan is to one by one sleep with him and get him to promise that is this going to be the three of us? Me, you, and the money. That's what he says to every girl individually as he naively has sex with them. And they show him working out all the time. It's so funny. They show him, like, doing push-ups and jogging and all this other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And one by one, they sleep with him, and then one by one they figure out, well, he's going to try and steal from us, so we'll just double-cross him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So they tie him and his... What's his guy? The Punjab.
Yeah. His sidekick.
He has a sidekick that's like Punjab the Indian. That's how he calls him or something like that. And this guy doesn't talk. He just goes, oh, blah, 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 blah. Like, he doesn't say words. They just dub him with, like, grumbly babble mouth.
Yeah, just noises or whatever. You're like,
what are we doing here? You know, whatever. So now the girls are off to find where Sid Haig is.
Yeah.
And Vic Diaz is back the next scene. So you're like, well, they tied him up in this tree and they're like, oh, we're going to die here. And then John Ashley. I think I keep mixing it up.
Yeah. John Ashley.
So John Ashley's tied to this tree and they drive away. And then literally he's there like a second later in the next scene. Cause he goes to the boat guy and he's like, where's Peg Leg's boat? Oh, why don't you ask Peg Leg? Okay, I will. And he calls the cops and tells them to meet him at the dock at 3:00 because he finds out when they're going to do the boat thing.
Yeah.
So he's doing the long con, getting the police involved, figuring because he worked an angle with the police. If they show up, he's going to get $250,000, and if he gets there first, he's going to take all of it. And if the girls get there, he's going to try and con them into giving some money back. Again, it's like whatever.
Yeah, it's convoluted or whatever. Yeah. You know. So anyway, you got like the three girls are there, and they're like they get a car, so they figure out what's going on pretty much, that Sid Haig's getting ready to bail.
Well, they go into this weird strip club, Peg Leg's strip club, and the girl, the black lady, does a striptease that isn't a striptease.
Yeah, right.
Just dancing around, and the other two are supposed to be
Gloria
going.
Henry,
they're supposed to be going to have sex, and they just beat the guys up and leave.
Right. And then they find out what's going on. So it's like a big battle royal at the end. And
who done it?
And John Ashley, they're driving, and John Ashley like appears out of nowhere. How was it that he appeared? I know he ends up getting in the truck with them or whatever, and they give him an extra gun or whatever.
Well, they gave a shootout. They have a shootout, and then like everyone jumps into John Ashley's car. Sid Haig's like, okay, we can be friends now. Just let me in, and they drive away. And then he steals the car and he comes out of nowhere.
I think you're getting it confused.
No, I am. That's for like way earlier. No, because that's when he killed the Punjab, remember?
Oh, then
down this dark road that is like, oh, go to the beach. And then he's like, then of course, Sid Haig double crosses him, you know?
Yeah, right.
And to get away from the shootout, they all get into Vic Ashley's big, John Ashley. They get into his big red like convertible. It's not a Cadillac, but they're trying to pretend it is. So then Sid Haig kicks him out, and he's standing in the middle of the road, and Sid Haig goes on to the boat, and that's when he stops. Now Ashley stops the girls and says, look, let me help you, and we'll
I know where he's going.
I know where he's going. Let's split it four ways. We'll go back, and we'll...
And they give him a gun.
Yeah, and they give him a gun.
So they're all on the beach now, and the boat's waiting for the gun. It's a piece of crap boat or whatever, yeah. And they're ready to get on it, and then all of a sudden the girls come in. They start shooting them up with everybody, and they kill like a bunch of the guys. But they of course Vic Diaz and what's his face, Sid Haig, are still alive. So they're like, hey, well, give us the money or whatever, And he's like, okay, so he throws them the money bag or whatever. So they go, all right. Here's two shovels, bury yourself in the sand.
Yeah.
So basically, they bury themselves in the sand, and they're like, no, you can't make us do that. And they go, they do that bit or whatever.
Yeah, the old deal.
So then after that's done, then John Ashley turns around and pulls a gun on the girls and go, okay, well, now that you girls, got money now, it's mine, And they're all laughing at him, going like, oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Don't come any further. And they go, oh, really? Here, watch me. And, you know, and he's like, and then there's no.
Yeah, they took
and
the
it was obvious
out.
To me that what they did was they gave him a gun with no bullets in it or whatever. So they like, you know, they go, yeah, well, look, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Here's $10,000.
Yeah, the blonde gives the money to the Asian girl because she's rich already. So the black girl gets a third of the million. The Asian girl gets two-thirds of the million. The blonde girl's like, meh, whatever. I don't care about money anyway. I'm already rich. So she and so they get on the boat. The Asian girl stays with Ashley, who's already trying to work angles on her.
Yeah, right. As the movie ends or whatever.
Like, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know about
it.
It's
like a more, I mean, it was more of a lighthearted attempt at these movies, even though all the sleaze is really heavily implied, but it's more of a lighter, you know.
It's almost felt like a comedy.
Yeah, it does. It is a comedy. Yeah, it kind of is a comedy.
Like, it's played so over the top. Like I said, these are like cartoon characters of a stereotype. It's really, you know, the way Vic Diaz and Sid Haig are acting, they're just like off the rails, you know. And Sid Haig is a funny actor. He's a good actor. You know, we've seen him in a lot of different stuff. And we've seen him play a lot of different roles. Sometimes, very often, he's the heavy, and he doesn't crack a smile. He's not playing it for laughs. He's playing it to be the meanest guy on the screen at that time, you know. But this one, he was just chomping on cigars and screaming vomitos. He was screaming in your face at 11.
A long wig,
you know?
And a long beard or whatever. He was nuts.
He looked like a pirate king, you know.
It really was kind of a comedy. Yeah. It really was, but I don't know. I mean, I laughed. You know, I didn't mind it. You know, again, I wish it would have done more, but hey, you know, whatever. They can't all be like, you know, sleaze. Yeah. I kind of promoted it. I kind of, when I sent it to you, I go, it's like, you know, more sleaze and misogyny for the Philippines or whatever. But you know, no, not really. It isn't. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's you can see worse things on television.
Way
than
worse.
This movie.
Way
you
worse.
Know,
you know.
Easily. You know. But you know, hey, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah. Now, is this part of this isn't part of like a trilogy, or this isn't part of a long-running thing, right?
I almost picked another Ashley one from called Beast of the Yellow Night that was really supposed to be another Blood Island movie, but it then turned out being a different movie. I almost picked it, and it was on there, but
that's Riff Trax does that. It's on Netflix.
Right, but it had, really?
Yeah.
Beast of the Yellow Night, yeah, but it has Spanish subtitles, and I'm like, you don't really want to be reading, you know, like
you can't
Spanish.
Help but look at them.
Yeah, you can't
We
help
learned
but
that
look
last week we did one that had like these Swedish subtitles, and you can't help but look at them.
The Tortured Angels.
The Tortured Angels, or the Strike of the Tortured Angels, but who cares? And it's very odd. Even when it's English, I end up reading them a lot of times, and I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I know. So I almost picked it, but I was like, nah. So yeah.
We have
there's
some,
a lot of them that I almost picked, but you know.
That's okay, and you know we found a real honey hole for some interesting choices in the future.
Yeah.
Not all of them will be kung fu, you know.
No.
I keep searching for that elusive English dubbed samurai sword movie. I will find it one day. Sword of Doom or something like that, or one of those real crazy slasher. Because in the 60s, it was really heavily. That was a genre that played a lot, where you know the Japanese samurai sword, like a Western almost, but shot. In feudal, but shot in feudal Japan as a samurai tale, just like a gunfighter's tale, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, I don't know, I liked it enough. I'll give it like a 6.
Yeah,
6.5. Man,
I was right there with you. I actually,
if it would have delivered a little more, we'd get a 7 range or whatever.
Oh yeah, I mean,
just for Sid Haig's performance, and I even laughed at John Ashley. Even though one scene where he's talking to the girl, I think they put a little bit too much makeup on. It was like
he was wearing more than the girls.
He was wearing more than the girls. You know, it's like, hey, John, you know. And he had like this little like, you know, dirtbag mustache. You know,
oh yeah,
like,
dude, he was porn stash all day long. He was a 70s. Weird character in this.
He was a strange character.
And now, was he wrote this and directed this?
And he produced it.
Oh, produced it. So, that's the choice he made. You know, it was to play that character like that. And it was a funny character. I mean, he was just doing like this jock, kind of weird sleaze bag, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
After he'd have sex with a woman, he was sitting there in bed doing sit-ups until the third one, then he couldn't even move, like she killed him, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, and his stupid tiger skin underwear or whatever. It was totally goofball.
Oh, it was goofball, you know. But I didn't know that he was the A-Team guy.
He was the producer of the A-Team, yeah, and the narrator of the show.
In 1966, an elite troop came back from
Vietnam.
That's his
biggest claim to fame besides the Beach Party movies.
Oh, yeah.
And Hot Rod Girl and stuff like that.
Hot Rod Girl.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Hot Rod Girl. That was a funny movie.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so I guess there you have it. We're going to green slime it up or whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing else for this week?
Oh, it's
no, that's it. So I guess what we're trying to say is go out and make sure you go see
Savage Sisters.
Savage Sisters.
At a theater near you.
Yeah, sure. Look in the papers, everyone.
Yeah, look in the papers and in the newspaper archives, maybe.
Wow, yeah, if that. That's it for this week. My name's Matt, with me as always,
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown, and we'll see you next week with more Asian cult cinema. And I will be fresh back from actual Japan. I will be, living the Asian cult cinema dream. So maybe I'll find some shenanigans to bring back with me. You never know. Maybe not, but probably. But you never know. All right, we'll see you next week, everyone.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Pour it on, Morris. Give it everything she's got.
Open the door, you'll find the secret. To find the answer is to keep it. You'll believe it when you